My guest at this time is North Carolina Republican Congressman Mark Walker. He joins me now to discuss the ongoing debate up on Capitol Hill in terms of the federal role in education. Earlier this week, the U.S. House of Representatives narrowly passed a reauthorization of No Child Left Behind. Although the congressman says it's an improvement over the original, it certainly doesn't improve the power of parents and local officials and even states to have a greater say in education to the extent that he would like. And Congressman, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure to be here, Greg. Thank you.
As you point out in your materials and news reports have certainly pointed out, No Child Left Behind technically expired in 2007, so this reauthorization comes 8 years after that. What exactly is in the bill that did pass, and why do you think it's an improvement upon the original?
Well, the reason I think that it's an improvement, it does prohibit federal coercion on Common Core. It also allows parents across the country to specifically opt out of Common Core for their children. Now, being a father of three, that's something that's very important to me, as well as been to most people. Some of us have been fighting this fight along with a lot of your listeners for 3, 4, 5 years. So I do think there has been some progress. Had it not passed altogether, and until we can abolish the Department of Education, which is a lot of our ultimate goal, of course, it did reduce from the No Child Left Behind as it was to go from 2021. It shrank it down to 4 years and did make some of these measures and amendments that we've just talked about.
So where does it stand now? Now it goes to the Senate for consideration?
Now, it does go to the Senate, which can be, you know, frightening as it is. But, yes, it does go to the Senate. I know they're working together on an education bill, and we hope that some of these things, amendments that we've added, would remain.
Now, the main amendment that you were sponsoring, along with Congressman DeSantis of Florida, was known as A+. That ultimately did not get added to the House version, but explain what it would have done.
Yes, and we're not done with this. In fact, from some of the people who have been there a little longer than I have told me that it was the first time they'd ever actually get it to the floor. And to receive 195 votes, which for that day I think would have put us about 19 votes short of passing, we may reintroduce it as a standalone bill in the near future. But specifically, what this does, it allows the states to opt out completely of even the bill that did pass, but still keep the federal funding. In other words, the funding would come in the form of block grants, but the state would not be required to adapt to any of the more than 80 federal programs that we have seen time and time again not prove the success that's needed. And that's one of the larger things. There are some other things as far as we felt like that would increase, especially for disadvantaged children, to be able to have some little bit more flexibility. But the main one is it would allow any of the 50 states to opt out of all the federal mandates but still keep the federal funding to distribute to where they felt like the state and the local communities the best place where it should go.
Let's follow up on that a bit, because I'm sure some blowback you're getting, certainly from Democrats, but also maybe even some in your own party, is that if you want federal dollars, you've got to play by the federal government's rules. You're obviously saying this money should be going in the form of block grants, let the local people, let the states decide what's best for their people, rather than everybody trying to fit in what people in Washington try to mandate. So explain how you would rebut their concern that if you're getting federal taxpayer dollars, you should be following federal rules.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I had to do this on the House floor with the member Polis from Colorado, who, in paraphrasing, talked about, well, how are we going to manage this? How do we hold them accountable? And my question was this: how's that worked for us the last 40, 45, 50 years? It hasn't. And it's a simple federalism standpoint. Do you either trust the people in the local communities, or do you trust Washington to do a better job, specifically in the area of educating our children? I think most people, in fact, we did a poll recently in the 6th District of North Carolina, 71% believe that government is more effective and accountable the more localized that you can make it. So it's, to me, it's a very simple, not to be cliche, but we the people federalism approach as far as who better can make the decisions for their own children, Washington or the local states and local communities.
Congressman, you've written recently that this big Republican majority, the biggest in over 80 years, I believe, is one that should be more aggressive in your estimation on education. Overall, how well do you think it's doing at this point?
Oh, goodness gracious. On a six-month perspective, I think there's much more room to go. I am encouraged by the people around me who have said this was a huge victory this week. I still consider it a moral victory. We didn't get it done. But as far as even getting it to the floor and working with the different sides, working with the, with leadership to even allow this, because it was just 3 months ago when I took it to the Rules Committee, that they, I mean, it was a slam dunk, no way, no chance, not anywhere close, to come back only 3.5, 4 months later and not only get it to the floor for a vote, that a lot of the people were expecting maybe 125, 130 to go as strong as 195. Was something that certainly encouraged us. But yes, you are right. We are not holding the line. And I'm actually concerned what the Senate may come out with its long term. So we're monitoring that as well.
Congressman, you mentioned in passing a little bit early in our conversation that ultimately your goal is the eradication of the Department of Education. What other ideas, what other pieces of legislation do you either have in process or in your mind that might provide even more local control over education down the line?
Well, yes, you've got to go back and somehow undo a generation of failed policy, really all the way back to the late Jimmy Carter administration when it was first introduced. Reagan tried to do something with it, abolishing early on in his presidency. He didn't have the horsepower at that time or the Congress behind him enough. If you fast forward now, what is that, 35, 36 years later, most of our lifetime, we now can look back and see that this new federal bureaucracy just simply hasn't worked. Now, whether we have the votes at this point, I would probably say no. You know, there's an adage in Washington, sometimes you can score a touchdown, sometimes you get a first down. But I do believe there is a growing consensus from the people that I've talked to, and there's some drafts here and there, nothing's been assigned to a bill number, that would be aggressive enough to say, you know what, we tried this, there's billions of dollars being wasted every year. Maybe it's time to take a look at that. And if it is, I would be one to support that and happy to go on record in doing so.
Well, a couple quick questions before we let you go, Congressman, both in relation now to the legislation that's currently before Congress. As you mentioned, it's headed to the Senate, and you're a little bit worried about what might come back from the Senate. What, in your estimation, has to be in or out of this bill for you to be able to vote for any sort of bill that comes out of conference eventually if they decide to change it?
Yeah, the great question, Greg. Number one, parents have to have more control. If a parent says, you know what, I don't want the Common Core standards, I want to be able to make decisions. If this doesn't come out of conference, if the parent doesn't have more control than where it was just a couple months ago, then I would certainly vote a strong no against it. The other aspect of it is let the states, you know, it's interesting, the hypocrisy. One, if it's a Supreme Court decision, we don't want the states. If it's something like this, we're trying to push for the states. It seems to be all over the map. But I think for the good, solid, conservative, federalistic approach would be to let the states have more control. If those two things are in it, I can go forward, even there may be a couple nuggets that I don't like. If those two things aren't part of it, then absolutely not.
And lastly, do you believe your leadership holds that same approach, or is there more of an emphasis on getting something done as opposed to what was just passed or maybe even something a little stronger?
Well, there seems to be a culture sometimes in Washington is just if you get it through, it's a victory. Well, you know, as Dr. Phil says sometimes, how's that working for you? And the policy or the thought process here is if we're going to spend the time, the energy, the effort to try to get something done, we want to make sure that it's real, genuine, good policy for the American people.
And so you're confident that's the way your leadership thinks?
No, sir, I'm not. I'm not always confident of that. We hope that. And not to just to rain on them, that we actually approached leadership and worked hard for these three amendments, both the Salmon Amendment, the one that shortened it, as well as the A-Plus Act. So they did work with us in allowing this vote, these three amendments, to get to the floor when just a few months ago, specifically A-Plus Act, was ruled out of order. I believe, again, as all of us were, surprised as far as how much support that it actually got.
Well, Congressman, you're certainly emerging as a leader on this issue. We'll be following it in the Senate, and we'll be glad to check back in with you as events warrant. Thank you very much, sir, for your time.
Greg, thanks a lot. It's a pleasure to be with you. Have a good day.
Thank you, sir. North Carolina Republican Congressman Mark Walker represents the Tar Heel State's 6th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.